grace, mercy, and peace, abundant peace be to you from our God and Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we are continuing our sermon series looking at the backwards, upside down kingdom of God, how God has called us and invited us into his kingdom. Jesus says it's more than just religion, it's more than just sitting in a pew, but following him means living as God's children, as his citizens in his kingdom. And in so many ways, the kingdom of God seems backwards than the kingdom of this world in which we live. And today I really want to be talking about how in God's kingdom, God has poured out his love into us through his son, Jesus Christ. God has given all that we have. And our goal is that generosity that we have received from God may flow to others. Last few weeks we've been talking about in God's kingdom, more is less and less is more. How instead of serving ourselves, we want to put others first. We want to think of others and serve them with our lives. Instead of ascending and thinking more of ourselves, we descend into greatness. You know, we don't want the glory, not to us, but we want God to have the glory. And so today, we look at generosity flows in this modernic kingdom, God's backward kingdom. And this is one of those things that I think when you're not a part of the church, when you haven't experienced Jesus, you might say, well, what's this generosity? We know that Jesus on the cross died for us. On the cross, all of the sins of this world were laid on him. And the great way that God's generosity flows is that whenever we confess our sins, what does God do? He forgives us. That's a generosity, that his mercies are new every morning. And so as we think about this, one of the things that I think keeps us from experiencing generosity is this word, enough. You know, this is one of those words that I think it's easy to say, have I done enough? Have I done enough to please God? Have I done enough maybe to make my dad happy? Have I done enough to get a good grade? And so often in this world, we're wondering, have I done enough? We know in Christ, the answer is we can't do enough, but Jesus has done it for us. And so we fall on our knees and ask for God's mercy, and his mercy generously flows. I think one of the other questions we may ask ourselves is, am I enough? You know, sometimes we may hear these voices in our heads that saying, all right, I'm not tall enough. I know my kids, they're a little vertically challenged. They'd love to be taller, but we wonder, am I tall enough, or am I ripped enough, or am I enough to get ahead at work? Am I enough to find a partner, a spouse? Am I enough? The world says, no, you're not enough. You have to be more. You have to do this. You have to buy this. But today I want you to hear the voice of the God who created all things. Hear him whisper in your ear, you are wonderful. You are loved. In Christ, you are holy. You are precious. God says, you are my beloved child. And God says, you are enough that I sent my son for you. We don't have to struggle with that question, but we know in Christ, God says, yes. Yes to us as his generosity flows to us. And I think our challenge as we struggle with our own enoughness is that we know in this world, in the kingdom of this world, there's never enough. But in God's kingdom, is there enough? Are we enough? Yes. And so I want to share with you three myths today. Myths that we hear in the kingdom of this world. And I want to share you the truth from God's word. And so this number one myth that we have here from this world is all that we have, our house, our car, our money, all that we have, it's all mine, right? And with that goes this whole thought, well, if I have it, I can use it to consume. I can just instantly gratify myself, right? It's really easy, Tammy, to pick up that phone or on that internet and call, hey, Marcos, time for pizza, right? We have this instant gratification that I've earned it. I deserve this. If I've got it, I should spend it on me, right? And so this is the myth that I think is prevalent in the kingdom of this world, is that all that we have, it's for me, for my consumption, for my immediate gratification. And this is fine if you have money, but what else is this world says? If you don't have money, what can you do? Charge it, right? And so that kind of digs you into a hole so fast because we buy things that we don't have money for. Is it ever enough? And so the truth that we find in God's word is not it's all mine, but it's all God's. We hear this from Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. What is the Lord's? Everything. It's all the Lord's. And then I love this next passage from when David asked people to give donations for the temple of God. David writes in 1 Chronicles 29, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything, Lord, comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. And so even the gifts that the people of Israel gave for the building of the temple, where did it all come from? From the Lord. And then we have this passage from Paul raising up a young man, Timothy, talking about how to lead a church when there are people that have a lot. And he says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to hope in their wealth, which is so uncertain, but put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for what? Our enjoyment. I love that the fact that the Bible says God has given what we have for our enjoyment, right? He wants us to enjoy creation. He wants us to enjoy food and fellowship and this wonderful creation to travel and see his world. But Paul's warning is sometimes the world, in the world's kingdom, people put their hope in their wealth. They put their hope in their money. But if you've watched the stock market, if you've watched companies, if you've watched, you know, riches, wealth is uncertain. It can be here today and tomorrow, gone. And so we want to make sure that our hope is not in our wealth or in money, okay? There's nothing wrong with money. God has blessed us generously with what we have, but to make sure that our hope is in God, that as we have things, God blesses us because he wants us to bless others, to not just consume for ourselves, but to make sure to ask God, how can I use what you've given me for your glory and the service of your kingdom? Maybe here at Talmadge Lutheran Church, your offerings do that. Maybe sponsoring somebody through Compassion International or giving gifts through World Vision. How can I share your kingdom to make it spread? The second myth I want to share with you is that when I have more, then I'll be happier, right? How many of you believe that? We want to, right? We really want to believe that. We think in our heads. And I was this way back in high school, all right? I thought if I just had a jean jacket, all right, I would be so happy and all the other kids would look at me and say, oh, there goes somebody cool, all right? And so I got a jean jacket and it was on sale somewhere and I wore it every day, you know, to school. And then because I loved it so much, I wouldn't take it off the entire day, all right? I wore this jean jacket every day for about 2 or 3 weeks. And then it got warm, and somebody said, "Why are you wearing your jean jacket?" And I looked around. Nobody else was wearing a jean jacket. And so in my mind, I thought, if I only had this jean jacket, I'd be happier. But it was a myth. It didn't change what was on the inside. It didn't change people's perception of me. And, you know, I got put back in the closet eventually. And it just, you know, you put your hope in things, but it really doesn't change you. Paul writes this in Philippians 4. I think that this is a master class in how to think about this world. Paul experienced so much, so many ups and downs. And he says, "I have learned to be content." Can you say content? Content. That's a tough word. But when we're thinking about enough, contentment is one of those keys against this kingdom of wanting more. "I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned to be the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or the want." And this is the key. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. His contentment doesn't come from his situation. His contentment comes from the Lord. And so in the kingdom of this world, we place our hope in our wealth. We find contentment in what we have, our possessions. But in the kingdom of God, our contentment, our joy, our peace comes from the Lord. It's a matter of perspective as we think on life. Anybody recognize this guy? All right, Snoopy. That's right. My dad is a big Charles Schulz fan, and I think he has every single Snoopy comic book ever written. But there's a comic strip with Snoopy that came out around Thanksgiving one year. And Snoopy is sitting on his doghouse, and he knows that inside the house at Thanksgiving, Snoopy or Charlie Brown and his family, they're all eating this turkey and gravy and dressing, mashed potatoes. And Snoopy says, "All I have is my dog food." And then there's a blank slide. And Snoopy's learning to be content in any situation because he says, "Could be worse. I could have been a turkey." It could have been worse, all right? He could have been on the plate, all right? And he gets to be, at least enjoy it. I love this phrase, right? It could be worse. Can you say it with me? It could be worse. I think this is a great perspective in life to, kind of in a sneaky way, be grateful for what you have, all right? Because it's so easy. You can walk out into our parking lot, all right, after church today, and you might look at some of the other people's cars. If you're looking at my family, I'm looking at with jealousy, on envy with somebody's minivans, all right? They're just a little bit nicer, or you just think, you know, "Oh, I wish if you just had something nicer." What should you say as you get into your car? "It could be worse," right? At least you've got a car. At least you got here, all right? It could be worse. Or as you drive home to your house today, and, you know, maybe you drive through some other neighborhoods and you see some nicer homes and you think of all these other, you know, things that are wrong in your house, whether it's a kitchen or a bathroom or things that you want to replace, the furniture or carpet, just tell yourself, "It could be worse," right? It's a sneaky way to slip that in to remember, "Wow, I am blessed." Or tomorrow morning when you look at your retirement fund and you think, "Oh, do I have enough?" Or you see people on Facebook who are going on trips and going here and there. And you think about your own life and you wonder, does it measure up? Remember, it could be worse. And then in the next couple of days, when you wake up, if you're married and you turn over and you look at your spouse, you think, "No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, all right?" that Jesus said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Our life depends on God, who gives us this peace that passes understanding, this joy in this relationship with Jesus and with others that comes not from what we have, but in who we are as we hear God's voice. "I love you. You are my child. I am always with you. When you pass through the waters, they'll not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, it will not consume you. For God says, I am the Holy One, your God, your Savior." That's enough. The final truth I want to share with you today is this. Don't you hear the world say? Again, if you have just a little bit more. The truth is, you know, money can't buy you happiness. That's what God's word says. Money can't buy you happiness. If you read the kind of the personal journal of one of the wisest and wealthiest men who've ever lived on earth, it's King Solomon, all right? And he wrote this book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon says, I've tried everything. Anything that my heart desired, I pursued it. Nothing was held back from myself. And as he lived that kind of lifestyle, at the end, he looked at his life and all that he had and all that he did, and he says it's all vanity. It's meaningless. All right, if you ever want just an interesting perspective on life, read the book of Ecclesiastes, all right? The stuff of this world doesn't fulfill us. He says the fear of the Lord, all right? That's the beginning of wisdom. And that wisdom, that fear of the Lord, is more precious than anything else. The truth is, money can add meaning to your life, right? There's a lot of fun things you can do with money. But money is not the meaning of life. Are you with me? All right? Money can add meaning to your life, but don't live for money. That's not where the meaning of life is. All right. Now our final myth. All right. When I have more, then I'll be generous. Have you ever thought this? All right. When I have more, then I'll be generous. That's sometimes what the way that the world thinks. And actually, statistics show that the wealthier you get, the less generous you get. All right. The more that you have, percentage-wise, the less you give. Once you hit like about $200,000 of income, the levels of giving actually drop considerably. The best givers are those who are content with what they have and their station in life, and they know it all comes from God, whether it's a lot or a little. The truth is, when you're generous, then you'll have more. More peace. More love, more joy, more time to invest in relationships, more of a priority, not on stuff, but on people, on serving, on loving, on giving. That when we are generous now, that's the secret of having more. Jesus says in Luke 6 that if you give, it'll be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to others. Give. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. One of the things that we're doing right now at Talmadge Lutheran Church is we're prepping some leaders to lead a church-wide campaign in March of 2020 called Freedom 2020. Because over 67% of people, households, are living paycheck to paycheck. And they're wondering constantly, do I have enough? And we want you as a church to experience the peace of not letting your money control you, but making sure that you are in control of your money. And so our leaders are going through this right now and to prepare us and to get us ready for us to do this as a church, because we want you not to we want you to know that you have enough. and to be generous what you have for the sake of God's kingdom. Finally, Jesus says this, seek first what? His kingdom, all right? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what's the great promise attached with this? All these things will be given to you as well. God has given you the greatest gift, his son, Jesus Christ. If you have Jesus, you have enough. Amen? If you have Jesus, you have more than enough. My friends in Christ, may we live in the Magnic, the backwards kingdom of God, treasuring, placing our treasures of our hearts, not in this world where moths and rust can decay, but in the Lord, knowing that he has generously forgiven us. May we generously share with others. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for all that you've given us. Thank you for allowing us to live in the United States, the richest nation of this world, in this time where we don't have to worry about our tap water. We don't have to worry about going out and finding food. Lord, I pray that you may provide for us in ways beyond what we can ask for or imagine, that we may experience your generosity flowing in us and through us, that we may bless others and be generous, building up your kingdom as we share what you've given so graciously to us. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray.